this summer, we got to go to San Diego.
Why?
June 28th, the Yin Yang Twins.
Shut the f*** up.
Anyway, we got Yin Yang Twins, Soulja Boy and Bow Wow, Fat Joe, Waka Flocka Flame, Genuine.
Genuine, man.
All different days.
Dude, all you're missing is Omarion.
I know.
You see how that dude's
got all the greatest fall offs,
right? I was just about to say, bro is getting clowned. All right, here we go. Going in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I am your host, Anthony King, and of course with me is my co-host,
Agent G Fuentes,
and sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back, guys.
Yes, welcome back. Today's episode is sponsored by Topo Chico Hard Seltzer. So wet, you'll need a safe word.
That was yours.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
I had to read that a little slow for a second.
You just had to figure out what was going to be said on that.
All right.
But yes, welcome everyone back for another week of film news for you guys. We got a lot of exciting topics to bring to you guys, so we're just going to hop straight into this. But man, a lot is going on for this week.
There's always a lot going on.
It's the film. It's Hollywood. There's always something going on in Hollywood, baby.
You need those yellow tint shades to be able to see.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Welcome, baby. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, baby.
But yes, first thing what we have here, Sinners is coming back to theaters, being set for IMAX at 70 millimeters for this May. It's going to be between May 15th and the 21st, right?
Yep.
But yeah, Sinners, Ryan Coogler, Sinners in 70 millimeter IMAX. I'm definitely going to see that one.
Dude. Yes, and I went on the IMAX website to see, you know, the locations.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, there's only a handful of locations.
Yeah, well, there's not many actual theaters that have 70 millimeter projectors.
Well, so. Not even that. It's the only certain theaters are getting, not even the 70 millimeter ones.
So not even all of them?
Not all of them are getting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there's only in California, we're getting 3.
Damn.
Compared to everyone else, everyone's getting 1.
Yeah.
So where's our 3 in California?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry. We have City Walk Stadium 19 IMAX, Los Angeles, Irvine Spectrum IMAX in Irvine. And then we have our
San Francisco.
Okay. Yeah, right. So damn,
the UK is getting 1, which will be in London. Let's see. Who is this? Ontario is getting Woodbridge.
Okay.
Florida's getting Fort Lauderdale, mm-hmm. Texas, Dallas, and New York.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And Arizona, Tempe.
Okay.
So we have 3 and everyone else just only has 1.
Well, we do have the most 70 millimeter theaters in the world.
That's a good point.
Just like we have the most 40X theaters in the world and stuff like that. I mean, California, of course, you know, Hollywood Central. So, of course, we're going to have at least the most of that's the film true. Theaters, yeah, the big ones. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're spoiled like that.
Yeah.
Just like, man.
What are we on? You want to drive an hour away? I guess. Well, but most people got to drive like a couple hours.
But this is interesting, too, re-releasing the film so fast back in theaters for 70 millimeters. I know the only one who did that beforehand was
Oppenheimer.
Yeah. But is this now becoming the new trend where bringing more films for 70 millimeter format out now?
Because
you also had Interstellar.
Interstellar, yeah. Too. They brought that back as well. Yeah.
I think so. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe because these things are expensive to produce, mm-hmm. and having these films lying around is not doing any good for anyone. I don't know. Is it? No, that's a real tricky question because it is one of those things where we're still, you know, we're talking about whether people want to go to theaters or not.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there is this for a fan base, not necessarily for the general public.
Yeah.
Because I saw Oppenheimer in the 70 millimeter format and it was just strictly like film nerds were there.
Of course.
Yeah. But
that's, we're seeing that slow trend of more and more films making a 70 millimeter format for theaters. So is that going to be like the next big thing that's going to move past just standard IMAX? IMAX is going to be like IMAX 70 millimeter is going to be the highest premium movie theater experience you can get.
That's if the director wants to pay for it. Remember
that?
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it requires a special camera to do all that. It's not just, you know, it's not necessarily just a format change.
Yeah.
Like this, not only is, well, this will be the third format that Sinners will be in.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, it's coming back in 70 millimeter.
Yeah.
It's already in IMAX. And it's already in Ultra Panavision.
Yeah.
So the fact that you have three different ways to be able to view this movie is three different scenarios. And I don't think I've really seen or actually had like a promotion of a movie being shown in so many formats
while it was still in its original theatrical runtime.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was like from the beginning of this movie was like, hey, this is what makes it special. We're not only shooting in IMAX, but we're also shooting in Panavision. That's the thing of this whole movie is that we're meant to shoot it in this way so you can watch it in any way you want.
Ryan Coogler was prepared, man.
He was prepared.
He was really prepared for this one.
Yeah. Like, and he did say this one was really close to him,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of like the deal struck with this movie.
Yeah.
This being the only movie that obviously we talked about last time, the deals made for this movie.
Exactly. So he can retain the rights back for it in 25 years. Yeah. Yeah.
But it sounds like he put a lot, not only that, but his own money into this movie.
Oh, absolutely. I heard it was a big chunk of
it. It was like $20
million. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, $20 million of that $90 million budget.
But yeah, I'm definitely going to go see this. This got me pumped.
Dude, for real.
Yeah, I missed the Oppenheimer for 70 millimeter, so I'm definitely going to see this one.
It's an experience. I'll tell you that
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, okay, here, just one quick final thing. I'm just quickly going through like the IMAX websites,
mm-hmm.
the Irvine, which is the one we're probably going to go to.
Yeah.
They will tell you straight up which version of IMAX you're getting, which I'm going through all the movies. They'll tell you IMAX 3D, IMAX Early Access, things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not any other 70 millimeter version of anything else.
Okay.
See, like F1's coming out, just IMAX Fan First Experience.
Mm-hmm.
How to Train a Dragon, IMAX Early Access. Mission Impossible, film for IMAX, was just IMAX, regular IMAX.
Yeah.
Thunderbolts, regular ass IMAX.
Well, like I said, like most filmmakers aren't shooting for 70 millimeter IMAX, and the ones that have come out, a good half of them are just re-releases of upgrading the film quality to 70 millimeter.
Yes.
Like Interstellar.
Yes. And Sinner's the only one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, this is going to be a real nice experience to go to finally see a 70 millimeter.
Just because I looked it up to how much it would cost.
Mm-hmm.
To shoot or at least to project a movie in 70 millimeter,
mm-hmm.
just one movie.
Yeah.
It would cost 50 to 80,000.
Yeah.
Right. And how many theaters do you have it in? That's one print.
That's one print.
That's
so
one print.
At least 12, right?
So 12.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11.
11 theaters. 11.
Let's say 70. We'll say 75,000.
Yeah.
Right. Times that by how many? 11.
11.
825,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot of money. Just the budget by itself just to get it into theaters. 11 theaters.
Yep.
The next film I really hope to see after this in 70 millimeter is Odyssey.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't wait to see.
I know for a fact that's going to be 70 millimeter.
I can't wait to see Nolan drag up actual mythical creatures.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's gonna find a real Cyclops somewhere. And seeing that on IMAX 70 millimeter.
Hey, what are you doing? No chairs.
No chairs. Whoa. He's really gonna pull up Poseidon.
Yeah, but man, this gets me excited, it gets me pumped. I definitely can't wait till I go see this movie.
Yep.
So yeah, definitely it's gonna come out between May 15th to the 21st. So if you have a theater near you that actually will be playing this, I definitely suggest going and seeing it. All right, next what we have here in our film news. Amazon is stepping up to fill in the gap for Hollywood's movie slate. So a few years ago, back in 2022,
mm-hmm.
Amazon MGM Studios, they announced that they would be at least putting in a little over $1 billion each year to produce films.
Yeah.
And I think now they are finally committing to actually do that for the next couple of years. So this year by themselves, they only released 4 films. But as of next year, 2026, they're going to be releasing 14 films. And then the year after that, they said they're going to be announced to release 16 films.
God, that's wild.
So they actually are starting to make true to what they said, as they will be putting over $1 billion every year to Hollywood films, specifically theatrical release movies. Because, of course, there's been the big buzz about, you know, streaming, and is Amazon just going to be producing films just for its own streaming service? But they did announce they will be making films for the movie theaters. Okay. And this is a huge budget for Hollywood. I think they really need this.
I'm looking here for examples as well, as far as like what's the average amount of movies that are released a year.
Yeah.
And typically around 8 to 23 movies a year in the U.S. For example, Universal Focus released 20. These are all projections of 22, 23, and 24.
Got it.
All right. So Universal Focus released 23 films in 2023. Warner Brothers released 12 in 2022. Universal Focus again released another 19, and Warner Brothers released 6, right? The total numbers of films released in theaters in the U.S. and Canada fluctuated with 502 releases. This is dated between 2022 and 2024.
Damn.
Right? So the fact that Amazon will now be added to this list with like 16, up to 16 films the following year, dude, like... holy shit.
That's a lot. But now, just because they plan on producing more films doesn't necessarily mean that it's actually going to drive more people to theaters.
I don't know.
Because we did have the big talk beforehand where, because of the price of how much movie theaters are.
Yes, that's true.
People have been very conscious about which films they're actually going to see in theaters.
Which will tie into our main topic, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, yeah. So... yes, a good thing, we're going to have more films coming out that are ready for theaters, that are not going to go directly streaming. Mm-hmm. However, we need to actually entice people now to actually go see these movies in theaters.
They're going to, well, don't forget that MGM has a lot of property. Mm-hmm. They own a lot of rights to many films.
That's true.
So I see more of them doing reboots and remakes and sequels to bring in.
One example, Roadhouse 2.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. That's very true. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I did the quick math on $1 billion divided by 15. That's $66 million per movie.
$66
million? Yeah. That's if you do all 15.
Okay.
So just think about that. That's end point of $66 million. Mm-hmm. That's going to go budget into films. Dang. Which could do a mid-level film, you know, obviously do some sequel to some, you know, movie that came out in the 80s, 70s, mm-hmm. whatever you want to do.
So you're trying to do some low-budget shit.
And wait, so is this going to be like... so is this something where like Amazon, they have their already usual standard yearly budget of how many films they're going to produce? Is they going to add an extra $1 billion to fund 15 or 16 more? Or is this just a grand total of like every year we have a $1 billion budget for films and we need to figure out which films are going to get higher budgets than others? That's the one thing that they haven't fully disclosed yet.
I thought...
This is just additive towards the... current budget they have.
I mean, so right here, Amazon promised to spend $1 billion each year on theatrical releases.
Got it. So that's something where it's like, you know, not every film is going to be equally budgeted the same.
Yeah.
So it could be one of these things like we have this big old blockbuster, $200 million, this big old blockbuster, $300 million. And the rest of you guys get about like $500 million like to spare between you guys. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we'll also have to see how well they balance the budget between each project.
How the fuck a dude gonna be worth $203.6 billion and be like, here's $1 billion to make it work. Bitch, put out some more.
But yeah, this is gonna be quite interesting to see the increased flux in Amazon produced films and see if actually is going to do something for theaters, and especially in Hollywood in general. Like, this movies are just, it's leaving LA, it's leaving California in like droves. And I know they're trying all their little tricks and stuff like that to try to bring people back into filming in California, but they really need to do something. They need to put more money into filming over here.
I think there was like some other bill that was proposed and passed that would mitigate the amount of red tape and also lessen the amount of hoops that studios would have to jump through in order to make movies and sign movies for permissions and whatnot. Because we've talked to a couple episodes back where there's like just all these forms that you have to fill out.
Yeah.
So hopefully this mitigates the amount of forms, but not going from like 12 forms to just 11 forms, but really like... 12 forms to maybe like 6-7
or just two forms
or yeah. two forms. Can I film here? Sure.
But that only benefits the studio itself. Mm-hmm. Doesn't benefit any film indie filmmakers.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
So it doesn't help, you know, us out. It helps out the major studios, not us.
Yeah, but they really do need something to work on the red tape.
Yeah.
For filming in California, make it at least more accessible and easier for anyone to film.
What was A24's deal where it was a remember where they partnered with the state of New York back then before they sold?
Yeah.
Remember, they partnered with the state of New York saying that it was like...
they'll produce a certain amount of films within the state
yeah.
for a certain type of budget incentives and cuts and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So why not something similar?
Greed.
I mean, that is the original point for the California Film Commission. That okay. was the point for that. It's just, it became useless at some point.
So you think we need to reinstate that?
Yeah. Well, we need to reinvent it to actually make it applicable for everyone universal and not just the five major studios.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Last thing we have for our film news before we hit a break. This is actually another update yet again about the Oscar judges. Look at Mike over there. He's just angry. He's ready. Mike has been pumped. He was really pumped to talk about this one.
I did fucking extensive research for this shit. I went down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. Why don't you kick this one off? Why don't you tell the people what we're talking about with Oscar judges?
So we talked about it the last episode where Oscar Academy members are now required to watch the movies.
Yeah, so before that was not a rule. That was not an stated rule that if you are a judge for a voter for the Academy Awards, you didn't actually have to watch all the films before casting your vote.
That's right. It was recommended mm-hmm. that you do it. And keep in mind, that rule, or rather saying, goes all the way back to the golden age of cinema. All right? Back to the 40s. Okay? So that just lets you know just how long this rule needed to be updated.
It was more of an honor system.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it failed, right? Because during that whole entire time, you had executives, producers, PR campaign, marketing teams who would essentially just have either their friends, family, sometimes even their adult children, fill out these ballots for the Academy Awards. And then they would mail it in.
Of course.
Without ever watching it. Some of them even saying that they had never even heard of half of the stuff that was out, but would still vote for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
The other half would also talk about that they would. It was career loyalty to that studio. So it was like, hey, here's a list of movies that we recommend you to watch, right? Oh, these four are against my movie? Fuck that. I'm going to vote for my movie, mm-hmm. even if it's terrible. No matter if it's like, if I like it or not, I got to vote for mine. So already those votes are already mitigated to that one movie or two movies or whatever it was. To,
yeah.
Right. So this rule, the informally named the Brutalist rule, named after the movie,
the Brutalist.
Because the reason it was informally named by that is because the movie itself won 3 Oscars, nominated for 10, despite 7 of the members have not seen it. Right. Right. It's fucked up, right? Yeah. So they informally called it the Brutalist Rule. So the idea for this Brutalist Rule is that now, post-2020, now Academy members are sent an online portal. Same as like, say, like you're at online school, right? Mm. For college or anything like that. And you got to log on to whatever it is, the subject you're learning on. And it requires you to watch the video.
Before you can click next to continue.
Exactly. Before you can go to the next chapter or subject or whatever it is. You got to watch it all the way through beginning to end, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the members are like, oh my God, about time. This is long over. Some of them even saying this is long over fucking due, right? So like, all right, well done. This is great. However, there's already a loophole that these members have already start to exploit. And lo and behold, it's the same ones. It's the executives, it's the marketing branches, it's the PR branches. They decided that, hey, you can actually just press play and walk away. Yeah.
Not actually watch it.
Not actually watch it because it only tracks when the video is being watched from beginning to end, not who's watching it. So now they just press play and they either go to work, go to the gym, go grocery shopping, or even some of them have even admitted that all they do is that they mute the audio and switch tabs and just go about their answering their emails, watching YouTube or, you know, whatever not safe for work events they be doing. So already you have them exploiting the system to say that they have watched it, regardless if they've seen it or not.
Why be voters then?
Exactly.
What's the point? If you really don't want to watch movies, what's the point of being a voter for Academy Awards? Like, yeah, it's like, what's the point? Why go through all that stuff if you don't even want to watch the movies?
Status, maybe? I don't know. Maybe just say...
Just to say, yeah,
just you're... Just to get... You go get laid. I don't know.
I'm a voter for Academy Awards. Oh, suck wow. my dick.
You want to be an actress, don't you? It's fucked up.
But you see the point. It's like, you see what I'm saying? Like, what's the point of trying to do... What's the point of trying to find all these loopholes? Just stop doing it then.
Exactly. This even goes like during the 80s and 90s, one publicist... Or one person even said that members relied on buzz, publicists, friends, and families to fill in gaps of a movie that they recommended, that they were recommended to watch, but not required. Mm-hmm. Which means that, say, I was recommended to watch these three movies.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want to watch it. But I asked my friends and family, like, hey, what do you think of this movie? Have you seen that? It's like, yeah, I mean, it's cool. And then you tell me about that movie. And now... That's my sudden... Not realization, but it's like...
But that's now your opinion of that film that you're going to use to vote and cast your vote on. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yes. And during the 80s and 90s, bosses would even hand over a blank Oscar ballot and say, you've seen more than me, fill this out. Yeah, they would say that to their assistants. And sometimes, like I mentioned, like their adult children, which leads me to wonder about past Oscar nominations and wins and whether or not they were legitimate or not.
You're talking about the people where we've talked about in the past where certain films and directors got snubbed for Oscars.
Yes.
That has been a common thing that people have been saying for a very long time about the Oscars. But usually people think about that's just usually opinionated. You know, you like that movie and you wanted it to win. You felt snubbed. But there has been a few in the past couple, like at least decade, where everyone kind of universally thinks like, okay, that movie got snubbed.
Like, for example... The year Saving Private Ryan was up for nomination for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't win. Guess who won instead?
Was it Shakespeare in Love?
It was Shakespeare in Love.
Yeah, no. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Right? Like that movie. It's cute.
It's a good movie. It's a cute movie.
But Saving Private fucking Ryan.
Yeah, no.
Sorry for the extra cursing. But yes, Saving Private Ryan beats Leagues. And the next example, Brokeback Mountain was also up for a nomination for Best Picture. You guys already know who won.
Yeah.
It was Crash.
Adrian hates Crash too.
It was Crash. Hate that movie. And that one was the worst, at least I wouldn't say the absolute worst, but the one that has footage of Jack Nicholson even going like, wow. Like people were like dumbfounded.
Just like,
what do you mean Crash won?
Yeah. That was like the first time when I was watching the Oscars where I could say like, okay, no, this is dumb. Like, what's going on?
Yes.
Something felt fishy that year.
Which kind of answers the questions of why Emilia Perez was nominated for so many, categories. Because either not enough people watched it, or people who did watch it skimmed through it, or they just put it on the tab and just ignored it altogether. And just like was mentioned before, they relied on the buzz, friends, families, whatever it is, any exterior source other than the actual source right there, anything to avoid watching the movie.
That's the weird thing too, because the only thing I ever heard about the Emilia Perez films while they were making it, while they were promoting it, all that stuff was just negativity.
Yes.
Like the entire time.
If it was a true honor system, that movie would have never been nominated.
No, and absolutely.
If it was, it would maybe be like one or two. Maybe original song, if that. Because that song sucked. Let's be honest.
Yeah, no. I
mean, it was god awful.
Yeah.
Also, another thing takes into account that's not really mentioned anything, but if you go through a couple different articles, you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
Is especially the movie Anora, that won Oscar this year, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was an A24 film.
Yes. The film CEO revealed that they spent $18 million was on Oscar campaign, marketing, and distribution. So they paid to have this movie kind of put out there for the Oscars.
Just for the Oscars to win awards.
So that also takes account if a person also, you know,
spends marketing towards trying to promote it for an Oscar worthy film.
Yes, you're promoting it. So they see that, I'm like, it must be good enough. Fucking just vote for it.
Yeah. Like if you see enough boards, enough wallpapers, the kind you see at the bus stops that you drive past, I'm like, oh, wow. You see it on the side of the bus. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. It must be doing really well. I think I'm going to vote for that.
Yeah.
And some of my gay friends even said that, you know, it's pretty good. Like, no, they didn't.
No. Now, before we hit our break, I got to ask you guys, since they already found this loophole for this rule, how would you come about actually trying to enforce this type of rule where you need to have all your voters watch all the films? How do you enforce that?
I got a couple ways.
What? Let's do it.
Okay.
I feel like that smile. I
know. Devious. That's that's like a devious smile. I got a couple ways.
Hush. You could do the elementary school or middle school route where you force them to take a test afterwards.
Yo, what if like at the end there's like a questionnaire of just really of like random things? Mm-hmm. Like you have ones where it's like, what'd you think of the actor? Good? Yes or no? Good. What'd you think of the actress? Good. Yes or no? What was the symbolic meaning of the French fry? And you have to fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And the director also already gave the answer for that. So it is quizzed. And if you failed it, you have to watch it again.
Or no, or just add questions that have nothing to do with the film.
It's like, just to trick them.
So what do you think about the little girl in the blue dress? Cool. It was a little girl in the blue dress.
Right. What do you think about the scene that went monochromatic? Very visionary. There was no monochromatic scene.
Either that option or another option is eye tracking.
Oh my God.
You're forced.
A webcam eye track?
Webcam. So you have to watch on a laptop or your phone.
Yeah.
And it's going to track your eyes.
They did discuss that. And not like the eye tracking.
Yeah, yeah.
But they discussed that they can't purposely make somebody sit. They can't like watch them in their home.
Come on, do something like that. Clockwork Orange. Just fucking.
I know.
Just the claws.
Just open up their eyes for us to fucking watch it.
I think that if you have the ones that are genuinely generally take it seriously, because there was another one on there that had a producer that goes to all the film festivals. He goes to Sundance. He goes, you know, all the major ones. And he goes and he watches the movies there. Like he's just a real true moviegoer.
Yeah.
Right. That watches the movies. So that way when he sees these in nominations, then he's like, okay, I can definitely, that one deserves to be there. And then accurate voting.
Mm.
I feel like you should have a list or a system to where it's like, if you don't want to vote, then don't vote. But you no longer vote for the Academy. You're an Academy. If you want to be an Academy member, whatever the other perks are to be an Academy member, fine. But you can opt out of a vote.
Yeah.
I'd rather you opt out of a vote altogether. So that way, of the 10,000 that there are, if there's only 700, fine. Then we'll just go with that.
Yeah.
But don't fake the fucking vote.
Yeah, I don't get like, or just like, if you watched every film for best editing, but you didn't see every film for best actress, you can vote for the best editing, just don't vote for the best actress.
Yeah.
You see, like...
It's not that hard.
It's not that hard.
And if you haven't seen either, then don't vote.
Yeah.
Don't vote.
Like, I get it. It's a lot of movies.
Yeah.
It's a lot of movies. But at the same time, you're given 6 months.
Yeah.
You're given 6 months.
Was it 18 films, you said?
It's around, like, 12 films each.
12 films each.
12 films, 6 months, that's two a month.
Come on. With a portal, they supply to you to watch it so you don't have to pay.
Yeah, it's like two a month. That's 2 a month, man. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how much shit do you watch on Netflix?
I know.
Exactly.
I know.
I know for a fact you were binge watching you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So don't tell me you're like, oh, I just don't have the time. Bitch, I know how many episodes and how long those are. I know for a fact you rewatched Grey's Anatomy, and those fuckers are at least like 45 to 50 minutes, 20 episodes a season.
So you have the time. You have the time.
So I don't want to hear no excuses of like, oh, I don't know. I just if you don't want to vote, then don't vote. Opt out of voting, but don't lie on it.
Yeah, yeah. All right? That's simple enough. It's very simple.
It's like voting for Kanye for president. All right. I'd rather you just not vote. And or
just don't vote.
Just don't vote. If you're going to vote, then vote seriously. If you're not, then just don't.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to cover over our main topic. So stay tuned. We'll be right back to you guys.
Here are smaller news articles that couldn't make it in today's episode. Rust, the movie related to the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins, released today on May 2nd. The writer-director, Joel Souza, has been open about the project, stating, "I wish I never wrote that damn movie." Martin Scorsese to produce Pope Francis documentary, Aldeus, A New Story. Guy Ritchie is set to direct Roadhouse 2 sequel for Amazon's MGM. And that's it for these smaller topics. Now, back to the episode.
And we are back, covering over our main topic tonight. Man, Netflix is claiming they are the savior of Hollywood.
You mean they're Jesus?
Yeah. Man, don't you know Ted Sarandos is Hollywood Jesus?
What? I thought John Voight was Hollywood Jesus.
He's the Pope. He's the Pope of Hollywood.
Yeah, but this man's a savior of Hollywood.
Yeah, so recently at the Time 100 Summit, Sarandos claimed that because of the slow return of Hollywood theatrical theaters, and of course, movie theaters are losing money, major blockbuster studios are losing money because they can't get people to go to actual movie theaters to watch these movies. He's claiming that movie theaters is an outdated mode now, that everyone is going to move over to streaming, and streaming is the future, and they are the saving grace since they are the biggest streaming service out there.
He's semi-right.
In a sense, that's the thing. It's like it's irritating because he's not 100% wrong.
No, he's not 100%. He's like, some of the words he said are correct. Not all of them, but yes. Some of them are. But
so yeah, like a lot of people are now more inclined to streaming, watching movies from home. Yeah. That's the new thing now. That's the next thing that's going to be prevalent within the entertainment industry is streaming. Yes. Streaming's here to stay. We said that many times. Streaming is here to stay. It's not going to go away.
Yeah, absolutely.
But do you think movie theaters are completely done? Do you think movie theaters is now an outdated mode for entertainment?
Yes and no. Is it outdated? Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
Is it here to stay? Yes. It's not going anywhere. Because because we talked about in the past, it's an experience. Mm-hmm. Going to a theater is always an experience. So getting to see your favorite, unfortunately now favorite movies, no longer, just go see a random ass movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's your favorite movie in theaters. You want to go see it.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about earlier watching Final Destination.
Yeah. Gonna see it in 4DX.
We want to see it in 4DX. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go see, I don't know what the movies now that I don't know about. But we don't want to see the no-name movie. We want to go see the blockbuster.
The blockbuster. That one that everyone's talking about. The one that, promotes the most buzz around it. That's the one that people are going to go see. So, unfortunately, there is some truth behind that. No one's going to see the day-to-day releases, the small independent rom-coms, the mystery films, stuff like that. Like, no one's going to see smaller independent films anymore, really, in movie theaters. Everyone's going to go for major blockbusters or huge, like, summer blockbuster events.
Yeah.
That's going to be the big thing or the gimmicks where you have Screen X or 40X or 70mm. Like, when you have those type of gimmicks for theaters, that's the only thing that's going to get people to actually go.
Yeah. And as well, it's a thing about, cost movies, $15 a ticket now.
Yeah.
$15-$20 a ticket. And
it's expensive, man. It's
expensive. But when he's talking about people want to see movies in home, don't want to go to theaters, makes sense. Like, let's say, I just pulled up a random list of Netflix movies.
Mm-hmm.
Movies like The Unknown Man, Takeover, Abyss, Kind of Pregnant.
Yeah.
Movies like this that have Zero Day, who has Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
It's a show. But I'm just saying that. You'd rather just watch at home, not risking that, $30, $40, $50.
Mm-hmm.
Just watch it at home. If you don't like it, next one.
Like, people will now reserve their money so they can at one time take the entire family to go see the Minecraft movie.
Yeah.
Rather than like, hey, date night, let's go watch like Working Man or something like that. You see what I'm saying? People aren't going to the theaters for the day-to-day movie experience anymore. They want big events. So there is some truth behind what Ted Sarandos is saying. However, I do agree, it's not an outdated mode of entertainment. And I don't think movie theaters are ever going to go away. It's going to heavily reduce itself.
Yeah.
And I think studios are going to have to figure out ways to cut back on the content they're producing for movie theaters and wait for these big events to actually release the products. But I don't think movie theaters are going to completely disappear.
Oh, no, no. I don't think theaters are ever going to disappear, no matter what. Yeah.
But do you think Netflix is going to remain reigning king supreme for a long time? Or do you think someone else is going to come up behind them and strip them of their streaming title as king? And that's the thing, because like, true, they are the king of streaming right now. Yes. I don't think they're the only people holding up Hollywood, though, because remember, they're not the only streaming players out there. We have Disney Plus, we have Warner Brothers Discovery with Max, we got Paramount Plus. You know, they have the other streaming services out there. Yeah, they're not as big, they don't generate as much subscribers as Netflix does, but they are growing.
Yes. Now, the reason why that is because, what's it called, these studios themselves, like versus Disney, or Disney, Max, all of them, have go through a major studio contract.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier for them to distribute their own titles out.
Yeah.
Versus Netflix is kind of distributing their own titles and everyone else's titles.
Yeah, that's true.
And also it's kind of easier to be put on Netflix versus Hulu and the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just have to go through, you know, a simple distribution company, pay them to go through there, and that's it.
And you're that's how it is, yeah.
That's why you get kind of sort of overrun with
Netflix made themselves more accessible so you can pitch ideas to them rather than the other streaming service and platforms. Yes, that's very correct. But do you think that's something that will remain for a long time, or do you think someone will come up? Because Warner Brothers with Max has slowly been increasing right behind Netflix. They've been drastically increasing their subscriber counts.
They have, but they're going to have to essentially just go into the deep end of like taking in random films in to make it work. Because that's like, that's what Netflix benefit is, that they take in a bunch of films and they pull a diamond out of the rough every single time.
Yeah, yeah.
And Max and them have to take that risk of like, all right, if we've opened the floodgates, you know, we're risking also a lot of shit, but hopefully we'll make something good out of this.
And it's true, like these other studios, they focus on two fronts. They're not just a streaming play. Like Netflix only has to focus on producing content for its streaming service. The other companies, however, have to figure out how they're going to balance what we're going to put in theaters and then what we're going to put on a streaming service. What movies or projects are going to be directly for a streaming service and what projects are going to have a first theatrical release and then after 90 days or 100 days, then go to streaming. They have all these other red tape to block them off from just going straight to streaming service and make a bunch of money from there.
I know in this article he did state that like there are Netflix theatrical releases that they still do only to at least for a certain amount of time.
What Netflix theatrical releases? Like wasn't Red like really the only one?
No, or Red Notice? No, yeah, like Knives Out, Glass Onion.
Yeah, they've
Emilia Perez.
Yeah, they released some for like a couple weeks and that was it.
Those are Netflix production companies?
Yes. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, Netflix. They'll produce something for like they'll release it for like a week or two and that's it. Kind of like what they do with anime films.
Okay.
They do this only to meet the qualifications to be able to, for like nomination for awards.
Okay. I didn't know they were actually theatrically releasing. Mm-hmm.
But they'll do it for short bursts.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's what, what's this guy's name again?
Ted Sarandos, yeah.
Sarandos. And he says that too. He's like, yeah, like they have a run for a little bit. It helps with the press cycle a little bit, but try to encourage every director we work with to focus on the consumer, focus on the fans, make a movie that you love and they will reward you. Saying that they release it for theatrical films just to seek award qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that they're, quote, more consumer focused. Focusing on what the fans want.
Well, yes, that's actually, I'll say, is more true because they're trying to create products directly for the streaming service. So you kind of figure out what does your consumer want.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, filming is usually a gamble. So if you have like a director or writer you like, you're gambling that what they want to produce is going to be what everyone's going to want to see. Rather than if you're going to produce something for Netflix, you're looking at charts, you're looking at graphs, you're looking at like basically all kinds of different types of analytic data that tells you what people like.
So does that mean Emilia Perez was the result of just charts. And
yeah.
Like, people want this and this and this, and they want representation here. And it's like, well, then shit, damn, it's here.
Like, he's they, for Emilia Perez, they're like, we got people who like Mexicans, so we got people like singing, and we got people who like LGBTQ. Just put it all together.
Yeah.
This felt like that South Park episode of the manatees.
Yeah, basically, yeah, with the Family Guy joke, or just saying to get the round balls, just different topics.
The idea balls of like subject and pronouns or something like that. And
unfortunately, that is what Hollywood is slowly becoming. Remember, we talked about not that long ago where producers and studios are now looking at Instagram follower counts for casting.
Mm-hmm. As well, you know, like sis, like that, and the idea of things of the pick and choosing what's famous. I mean, how many John Wick knockoffs have we seen so far?
That's very true.
They see one movie that works great.
We want our own John Wick now. Yes. Yeah.
Nobody. Nobody too. And then whatever else.
But that has also been a trend for Hollywood since the very beginning, where you get one popular film, you get 1,000 knockoffs until the next popular film, and then 1,000 knockoffs. Yeah. Like, everyone is always trend chasing.
Yes. I mean, even go as far back as Star Wars. You see how many sci-fi space movies were made.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So many.
You go even further, and it's like you had Robin Hood. Everybody was making Robin Hood movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had pirates. Everyone was making pirate movies.
Westerns.
Yeah. Westerns grew into it, you know? And then you had war movies.
Mm-hmm. Gangster films.
Yep. Gangster films. Everyone's always going to be following trends. So this is more different in the fact that they're actually not even really listening to what people like. They're just seeing charts and graphs. Yeah. So that's where it makes it a little different.
As well, they're going off of not only that, but they're also going off of social media, the what the popular terms, what people are posting, like I said, what people
tags and stuff. Yeah. Stuff.
They're going off of that, hoping that they figure out, you know, they're into the zeitgeist. They're like, oh, we got a hold of it. We know exactly what people want.
Mm.
No, man, you do not know what people want.
Yeah. Even for that documentary about Nickelodeon and kids and everything like that, the minute that came out, how many other now they're trying to figure out all these child actor stars and how fucked up their lives were? Like, how many other knockoffs that came out since after that?
Dude, so many podcasts, so many.
Exactly.
Everything came out of nothing.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, it always has been prevalent like that. But I don't know, man. Just for them to fully claim out like we are the saving grace of Hollywood.
That seems very
like there are other streaming competitors in the game.
They are.
I'll say this. Streaming, yes, is saving Hollywood. Streaming itself. The concept of streaming is saving Hollywood.
They are streaming kings. I'll say that. They're not gods. They're kings. They're not the savior. Like right now he is top of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, any empire could fall real fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Like I said, all it takes is for someone else to start copying their motto. Amazon, don't forget that they were always in the back of the line.
Amazon
of the class.
Has been coming up lately.
That's the thing. That's what I said.
And we just talked about they're going to be funding over $1 billion every year for films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're becoming a big player now.
And honestly, I do see Amazon coming head toe to toe with Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I see coming up toe-to-toe. Unfortunately, Hulu, Max, any of those, I don't see them coming toe-to-toe because they are focused on, you know, other fronts. You know, they're still making, you know, major studio, like TV shows, television, music. They're still doing a bunch of other stuff. Netflix and Amazon, I mean, that's...
Yeah, yeah. So how would you see, like, in the next, like, 10 to 15 years, the new Big Five coming about? So we have the current Big Five, which is Paramount, Disney, Warner Brothers, Sony, and
Universal.
So, yeah. Universal. That was the last one.
Boom.
So those are the big five right now. Who do you see in the next 10 years be the next big five? Because now you have to include streaming into this. So Netflix, of course, will be one of the big five.
Drop Paramount. And it's
Sony.
I think Sony will still be. As much as people don't forget Sony, it's still there. It's going to stay there.
Like, I could see MGM regaining its title as one of the big five. Yeah. People forget, you know, 1930s when the original big five was MGM.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's going to come back.
MGM and 20th Century Fox.
Yeah.
No, it's going to come in. I think it's going to replace Paramount, but using the Amazon face.
Oh, God. So it's like, instead of the lion, it's just the smile.
Yeah.
No. What I mean is, it's going to come in wearing the Amazon mask. where you think, like, oh, this is a new player in the game. Oh, no, this guy's been here the entire time. He just wore a new mask this time.
That's basically it. That's how some of it is coming out to be. Like, Disney is not one of the big fives, but they're basically just replacing 20th Century because they bought them up.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's different masks being changed out. That's all it really is at the end of the day. But man, I don't know. How do you guys see, like, there has to be a way for movie theaters to have some kind of resurgence to be at least, I'm looking for the right word where it's like prevalent.
Unfortunately, I think we're past the point of no return when it comes to theaters. Mm-hmm. We can no longer go back to the, showing random films and, let's just go see. I think we're way past that now. It's no longer that thing.
Can't afford movie theaters. They're no longer like, hey, let's have like a late Saturday night, go to the theaters just for fun. Just watch a flick.
No,
like,
that gotta save up for it now.
Yeah. We're way past that. So it's just nothing but blockbusters. The only thing I could think of like might be different, sounds crazy, but I might, maybe in the future, is Netflix gets into the theater game itself and starts producing its own, you could watch the Netflix in theaters.
No, I can't see that because, are you talking about like using Netflix service in theaters?
No, I'm talking about, sort of, but not really that.
I just have like 40 minutes of someone just surfing through Netflix, browsing before they finally come up with a selection.
Yeah, a group of the audience be like, oh, what? Nah, that one's dumb.
A room just like 40, 50 people just trying to agree on what to watch.
Honestly, I would pay to see that.
Jesus.
I would pay to see that.
Okay, who here? And you get three options. All right, who wants the Croods? One or two hands. Who wants the Bourne Ultimatum? I don't know. All right, no hands. Who wants Despicable Me 4?
Everyone is like,
all right, well, let's start. Hold on, I gotta use the bathroom real fast.
Yeah, let me get some popcorn real quick.
Bro, that's an all-day event.
No, what I meant was that for a smaller fee to go watch a Netflix movie in theaters. Instead of paying the $15, maybe pay $8 to go see a movie that's already on Netflix.
That's decreasing prices, and that's the only way they could fix this problem now.
Yes.
Movie theater ticket prices have to go down.
But what I'm talking about, what I'm seeing is...
They will never.
Best way to explain it for me was, if Netflix was to partner up with someone like AMC...
to have a special deal.
So they're partnered up together, so they could actually, in their theaters, Regal or Reading, wherever it is, to put out like during, certain days, you could actually watch a Netflix movie for $8, $10 at the theater itself.
Good in practice until the other studios sue.
Yes. But, I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's ways around this, man. Come on. There's so many laws. They can work. They got lawyers.
I just hope we figure out some way to be able to. I hope someone finally figures out, like, yo, maybe we can't just hold on to, like, $500 million checks. Let's take a hit and go down to $450 million.
I don't like,
dude. Here's the solution: make the ticket $10, make the special popcorn buckets $40. There we go.
Well, here's the real question: for real. Is it too late to save theaters?
I feel like
that's the real question: is it too late to save theaters?
I don't think it's too late. I think there's still time to just reel back the price. Reel back the price, and you're going to have more people. Case in point, remember when AMC hosted? It only did it like the one time. Remember when they offered $4 movies?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? Two or three or something like that? And they flooded the fucking theater?
Yeah.
It was to the point to where it was like lines out the door.
I think they had what they call, like, certain theaters had to call like fire marshals.
Yeah, they had to shut it down. So it's like, it's there. People want to go watch movies.
Oh, yeah.
If you tell me, like, yo, this week only $4 movies all week. Let's go to the movies. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, people want to go out. People don't want to be cooped up at home all day long. Yeah.
Yeah. $20, boom. Four tickets, right? No, that's five. Five tickets right there. Five tickets to send you and your family or whatever you want. And then the rest is on snacks. Because that's how the theater itself will make money.
Yeah.
They make money off the snacks. That's why the shit's so expensive, right? So, dude, you can do it. Just lower it. Lower the price.
Or make some kind of promo offer, man. It's the promo offers of, buy buy two tickets, get a free popcorn.
That's true. They need to have some more better. They need to actually have deals that lower the prices. Not stupid gimmicks, not like special little event things. They need to create some type of incentive to lower the prices. That's the only way I can see movie theaters being saved.
People want to go to watch movies. People want to watch movies, but it's expensive.
It is. It is.
Help a motherfucker out.
Help them out. You got to help them out somehow.
We struggling out here. All right. I don't know if there's going to be food on the shelves in the next couple of weeks. All right. We freaking out. All right. Lower it down.
No, I absolutely agree with that, man. All right. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thoughts on tonight's topic. How you feel about Netflix claiming to be the saviors of Hollywood? Do you agree? Do you disagree? You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on the Red Band Podcast YouTube channel for a listener to discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those who like to watch our videos. For audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And, of course, I'll say it again, you can watch the video format on our Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube. And before I fully close out, Mike Castle's last end notes for you guys.
Yes, as Anthony's mentioned, all the different ways you can be listening to us, including watching us on our YouTube channel. We just relaunched it again. Mm-hmm. Kind of clean things up a bit. So head on over to youtube.com/TheRedBandPodcast. Look for the screaming microphone. You should be able to find it. It's only one account. Head on over there, consider subscribing and hitting that notification button so that way you can be able to keep up with the episodes that come out. Episodes usually come out, at least the live versions of these ones, or at least snippets of these, you know, they come out every Friday around 5 a.m. Audios on our other streaming platforms around Wednesday, again, about 5 a.m. Speaking of audio platforms, Anthony mentioned Spotify, Apple Podcast, and iHeartRadio. Consider subscribing to those. That way you can listen to us on the go, whether you're at the gym, on your way to work, on the drive home from work, you know, or just wherever it is that you just happen to be commuting and you just want to listen to some news topics, or if you want to share with a friend that's interested in the business or someone who's actually in the business and enjoys these, please let them know. Have them subscribe. Have them share. We enjoy doing these, so please get the word out so we can spread it and that way we can get some more listeners, because more listeners equals more subscribers. And speaking of which, we have a Patreon account.
A new Patreon account.
That's right. We totally revamped everything. Yeah. All right. So new Patreon account. Consider heading over there. Consider subscribing so that way we can be able to make more of these, as I mentioned before, because we enjoy doing these for you. And more subscribers equals more content. So please head on over there. Consider subscribing. And I'll throw this back to Anthony for final goodbye notes.
All right, guys, you heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.